Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. This show is always presented by DraftKings. We're live on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Coming up in about a half an hour, Claudia Bellafato of DraftKings Network. She's been filling in, doing a great job on Golic and Gojo in the morning. She's going to join us, talk all things Boston Celtics NBA. She's got some NHL plays as well. Plus, I'm very proud of her that she's finally watched the movie Superbad, although it did not seem like she liked it, which was very disappointing. Neither here nor there. Also this hour, buy or beware on these NFL coaches in 2024 and why not Wednesday to close out the show like we always do on a Wednesday. But Michael, where we will start, because I don't feel like you want to talk super bad, is in the NFL, is in the NBA, where it was super good last night if you were a Minnesota Timberwolves fan.
It was. You finally saw your player, Anthony Towns, play at a high level. Anthony Edwards was able to dish the ball. He made threes, 4 for 5 from the three-point line, and they closed out a game. They were able to tie the Mavericks in the fourth quarter. Both had 27 points, so you were encouraged by it. And I think ultimately you can see that they didn't quit. They were into the game, and you know they wanted to extend the series. I think they had pride. And you could see Rudy Gobert play with more physicality. I thought the officiating, really, I know we were worried about Scott Foster, the extender, but man, I don't know about you, Stormy, but I thought there was some real physicality that wasn't called in that game.
Yeah, and there were some calls against the Timberwolves too, right? And it's funny, we joked so much about the extender yesterday, and even though it didn't come into play the way that we thought that it might, the record still stands. The team that's down in the set ends up winning. The final score, by the way, 105-100. The Timberwolves win straight up as a 2-point underdog. The total stays under that 211.5. But you mentioned Karl Anthony Towns coming alive. 25 points, 5 boards. He was a game high, plus 15 on the floor. Anthony Edwards is well put on a show. He did what we expected to see throughout the course of the series that didn't show up as much. 29 points, 10 boards, 9 assists, including all 3 assists on the 3 triples made by Karl Anthony Towns there late in the game. His 9th 25 plus point game this postseason, passing Kevin Garnett for the most in Wolves postseason history. He, by the way, was not lacking confidence after the game. Here's him on the podium.
Tell somebody in the hallway you'll see him for game 6. Where does that confidence come from?
What am I supposed to say? I'm supposed to say we're going to lose game 5? No, I'm not going to never say that. Michael Parsons, you know, he was rocking the AE1s, and I told him he wears size 14. I'll bring back some nice shoes for game 6. That's what I told him.
I love that. He says he's coming back for game 6. And with that, Michael, the Timberwolves in game 5 as the series goes back to Minnesota tomorrow night are a 5-point favorite right now. We've seen that bet up a full point in the last 24 hours.
You know, it's just so funny, having done this now for almost 5 years, how the betting market is such a reactionary market. You know, there's no evidence. I mean, that game, the two best players for Minnesota shot 33% from the field. They didn't play well. Mm-hmm. And it's a 5-point game with a chance to win it at the end. And all of a sudden, because, you know, Anthony Edwards kind of was 11 for 27, he played better, but it was Karl Anthony Towns, his ability to play big, his shooting really made the difference. And so the numbers that shift so dramatically for me based on perception, it's a great lesson, because as we get into the NFL season, which we will in 99 days, the overreaction is really built in. And I think they do a better job of not overreacting because we have that week to deliberate before games, as this one is on top of one another. But I just don't see it. Like, you know, when you mention that the Mavericks went from plus 190 to plus 240 against the Celtics because they lost a game to the number one seed of the Minnesota Timberwolves, I mean, I find that hard to believe that that number would move that much.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's 230 right now. But yeah, significant movement with one game won from the Timberwolves, which I do think is interesting and probably a little bit too much if you ultimately think that is going to be the matchup in Dallas and Boston coming up in the NBA Finals. This is a great buy low opportunity on Dallas if you think that's the way things are going to play out. And you mentioned the stars on Dallas not showing up the way they have. Kyrie Irving came into the game averaging 28 points on 52% shooting. Last night, 16 points on 18 shots, 33% shooting. Luka, yes, he had a triple-double, but it wasn't the efficiency we're used to seeing. And the thing with Dallas is, what I'm talking about they had done the previous three games in the series is what they've consistently shown. Meanwhile, the Timberwolves and Karl Anthony Towns specifically, what he has consistently shown is that he has struggled from the floor, is that he has struggled to make his presence known. So I'm buying more on what I have seen consistently and what I believe in versus the Timberwolves. And yes, all of the games have been close, but Karl Anthony Towns, I just don't have personal trust in. So Mavericks minus 550 in the series. If you think the Timberwolves are going to come back, plus 425. But again, no team has ever come all the way back from down 3-0 in an NBA best of seven series. They are 0-155 all time. Michael, we always like to start off hour two as well, finding out what's on your mind. What's on Michael's mind today?
Well, you know, we got this release from Tom Pelissero that basically said that the NFLPA really is looking to dissolve the offseason. And they acted as if the players were supporting it. And then we learned that that's not the case. And then when you start to listen to the report, eliminate the OTA days, eliminate the practice time in the spring, and start training camp earlier, knowing that we're going to 18 games, knowing that that's part, it has to be negotiated with the ownership and voted on by the players. How do you extend training camp? There'll be two preseason games. What are we going to do with training camp? You know, are we going to go out for ice cream in the night? Like, what has happened? Like, we're making the season longer. I thought we wanted to make it shorter. That's always been the goal of the league. So, like, there's two things that don't make a lot of sense to me. And I think it hurts the game. I think the idea that we have to give some of the players off is right. I think if you're if you're Trent Williams, for example, of the San Francisco 49ers, you don't need to be at OTA days. You take care of your body. You're a professional. You don't need the wear and tear. Come in when we're ready to go. You're not going to be to work that hard in training camp. But if you're a young player who's trying to get to become Trent Williams, you need all the practice reps you can get. And we're complaining about the game in February. We had Herm Edwards on yesterday or the day before, and he was talking about how bad football is in September. Well, there's a reason, because we don't have preseason, and it's not going to change. So, like, this is on my – like, the problem is we keep making rules without anybody who understands football, who have been in the trenches, to help out with the rules.
And it's just – it's so interesting – the 18 games of it all, Michael, it's just this is not worth it to me. If you're the NFLPA and you're supposed to be fighting for the players, I don't like no players want 18 games. No players want another game unless they're getting something massive back for it. And yes, I know that the salary cap has gone up and more games is more money and da 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 da. But like, if you are a player, that's another car crash you're going through that you're signing up for, another opportunity for injury. There are a lot of things that go in with this. And so if I'm the PA, I want a whole hell of a lot more than just a managed offseason, although that offseason doesn't even sound like it's what the players want. To the first point that you made there, we're seeing players already come across on Twitter like, no one asked for this. What are we talking about? So I agree with you. It's very interesting. It's one of those things that you mentioned it in the earlier hour, that owners clearly don't seem to care about what coaches think of development and young players, even though young players largely rule the league. The average lifespan for an NFL player, NFL stands for not for long. It's three and a half years. Shelby Harris, who we have that tweet right here, said, I'm so confused how they're trying to twist this into saying players want to start camp at the end of June. Nobody wants anything to do with this change. And again, a reminder, OTA days are voluntary. And I know the media makes a lot about guys who are there and guys who aren't there, but coaches, and we've talked about it a lot on the show, know who that's important for and who that's not. And a lot of these veterans, it's not, which does lead me to our next topic here. Neither T. Higgins nor Jamar Chase were at the Bengals' first day of OTAs yesterday. Higgins has yet to sign the franchise tag. Jamar Chase, we know, is contract eligible. Zach Taylor didn't appear too concerned when he was asked yesterday about whether or not their absences could set back the offense.
I think that they'll get the work in at the necessary time. And please, you know, we have a high turnout for voluntary workouts. I told the guys, I understand it's voluntary. I appreciate them showing up. The guys that don't are still working hard elsewhere. and they'll be back at the right times. And so, and the beauty is we know those guys, we know what they're about, and that they'll be ready and focused when it's time to come back.
Thoughts there, Michael?
Well, I mean, look, we make way too much about players missing, because the way the CBA has been written, if you have a contract, which we know Chase has a contract, T. Higgins doesn't. He has the potential for signing a guaranteed contract for skill and injury that he hasn't done yet. But if you have a contract, you're going to get fined if you don't show up. And so the CD Lamb holdout, you know, the Chase holdout, they're all just conversations in the offseason that mean nothing. They mean nothing because they're all going to show up. They're not going to take on the fines that Chris Jones took on. I can promise you, Mike Brown ain't giving you a chance to get your money back. If you want to hold out, you're going to pay the fine, which you have to do. And he ain't going to rework the contract like Kansas City did, so he give the money back to you. Not many teams are willing to do that. So to me, we make way too much about guys not coming to OTA days. It's really comical because it's a no story. It makes no difference.
Yeah, and to your point, Ja'Marr Chase still under contract for 2 more years. But, you know, when you have nice things, you pay them. Ja'Marr Chase will get paid. He will show up. As you said, he's not going to be taking any money out of that pocket. And T. Higgins is in a unique situation because he's technically not even an employee right now because he hasn't signed the franchise tender yet. He could technically wait until just ahead of the season and get that $21.8 million in guaranteed money and he'll be just fine. So interesting what he said about the process of the offense. Taylor was also asked about Joe Burrow's wrist recovery. And he said, quote, he's been accurate. He's been on time with the ball. He's been throwing with great velocity and power. All good things to hear about your starting quarterback as he's coming back from a season-ending injury. Win total for the Bengals, 10.5. They're plus 145, second shot in the AFC North behind only the Ravens. We are going to hit the break. More to come still on the Lombardi Line. Just getting started here with Hour 2.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time here on the Lombardi Line, we are slashing the price of our annual VSiN Pro subscriptions. Usually $240. Now if you use our promo code Lombardi, just $199. Sign up today. We're throwing in an extra 2 months for free as well. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use our code Lombardi. And hurry, this offer is only available until May 31st. With VSiN Pro, we're giving you immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest VSiN experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. But remember, this offer expires in a couple days. VSiN.com/subscribe is where to go to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for $199 with the promo code Lombardi. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back into the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network. Time for another edition of Buy or Beware. We're looking at NFL head coaches, Michael, who are either in what feels like a must-win season, a potential transformational season, and whether or not we should be buying in or if we're headed out on this coach and this team. Starting with the New York Football Giants, Brian Daboll feels like it was a century ago that he was Coach of the Year after what the team went through this past season. But Coach of the Year in 2022, last year, the Giants are a 6-win team, third worst point differential in the league. They averaged 15.6 points per game on offense, had an offensive line I have nicknamed the quarterback killers, and through the first 14 games last year, allowed a franchise high 76 sacks. That was just in 14 games. They ended the year giving up 85. Buy or beware on Brian Daboll in year 3 in New York.
I would beware. I mean, there's certain teams you ask yourself, how are they going to win a game? Okay, let's go over this. Don Martindale left because they fired two of his assistant coaches. They went from a blitzing attacking defense to a very simplistic, we're going to play over front Tampa 2. We gave Brian Burns a huge contract. We hope he can rush along with Thibodeau. Are they going to be able to stop the run? Can they make big plays? Can they cover in a zone concept? Now let's go to offense. How are they going to score points? Singletary had a good year last year for the Texans. No, make no mistake about it. but he's got to fill in for Barkley. And then you got Daniel Jones, who's never averaged over 7 yards per pass attempt. Like, tell me how we're going to stop people and tell me how we're going to score. I don't get it. Look, I know they made the playoffs in Brian's first year, but if you really peel back that layer, they beat a lot of bad teams early in the season. The second half of the season, it was nothing. And then when they played Minnesota in a playoff game, Minnesota's running the same scheme they're going to run on defense this year. A lot of Tampa, no pressure. I don't see it, Stormy.
And they dug themselves in a bigger hole, too, because after that year that they made the playoffs, everybody thought, oh, Brian Daboll must have fixed Daniel Jones to an extent, right? This is the guy that is going to lead us moving forward, not the guy that we've seen the previous handful of years. This is the guy. And then, obviously, this past season on the field, before the injuries really took hold and ended his season, he struggled mightily. He was bad. He is a $40 million man, and God knows why. So I agree. Uphill battle for the New York Giants. It is a plus money price for them to go over their season win total, plus 115 over 6.5. How about the head coach of the New York Ifers? We're staying there in the Big Apple. Robert Saleh, regular season record 18-33, have not been to the playoffs. He's entering year 4. Last year they thought was going to be the most transformative year the franchise has had in over a decade with Aaron Rodgers, but he of course ends his season 4 snaps in. He's back. He has a lot of talent around him. He's got an offensive line that's supposed to be better, although some of them are older and some of them are dealing with injury concerns as well. Buy or beware on Robert Saleh and the Jets win total 9.5.
I would beware. I mean, that's an easy one. You knew where I was going here. He's yet to convince me that he's got this head coaching gig down to a science, decision making. Look, he's turned the offense over to a coach that we know in Nathaniel Hackett, that the Jets front office, whether it's Woody or whether it's Joe Douglas or whomever, wanted to make some changes. They just couldn't get the right guy to come in, and they couldn't upset the cart called Aaron Rodgers. So, look, I mean, you know, we know this, that we're not sure what Saleh does on game day. We're not sure. I mean, we need an investigation on that because the defense and the offense are run by someone else. And I think that the owner's deeply involved in a lot of this stuff, too. So, look, you're going to have a hard time getting me to buy. Even if the Jets win, again, I think it goes back to this question. Let me ask you. What is a winning season for Saleh? How does the pressure? Because if you make the playoffs and you lose the wild card with a 41-year-old quarterback, where are we going?
Well, and that's why Aaron Rodgers got on the podium at the start of OTAs and said he's very aware that if things don't go right, they're all out of there. And I don't know what the threshold is going to be that's going to keep Robert Saleh and the staff their jobs, because it feels like it's Super Bowl or bust, but how can you ask that question of a team and an organization that hasn't even made the playoffs in 13 years? It's a wild thing, but it does feel like it's, okay, you have to at least win a playoff game or two to feel good about what you've done and what you've invested into this team. I am not buying in, but the Jets are a very popular pick in the division at plus 190 and a very popular play to go over that 9.5 win total at minus 150. How about Matt Eberflus? He gets another chance with another first round quarterback. They get the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. They get Roma Dunze there in the top 10 as well. A lot of belief that the defense got better the back end of the season. Entering year 3, win total 8.5, juice to the over as well, minus 165. Got to bet $165 bucks to win back that 100. They're plus 265 in the division. Buy or beware and Matt Eberflus and the Bears.
I'm beware here. I don't see it. Again, you know, everybody says their defense was great in the second half. Did you watch the Green Bay game at the end of the year when Green Bay put 485 yards on a Bears defense that was healthy? Now, I know it was on the road, but I'm not sure. Today it was interesting. I read somewhere where the Bears said that Roma Dunze was their second best player on the board. I had heard earlier in the year the number one receiver on their board was Dunze. It wasn't Harrison. And we kept reporting all year, me along with some other people, that Harrison wasn't the best receiver on a lot of people's boards, that Neighbors was. I hadn't heard of Dunze, but that's the case. And so, look, there's still not an elite defensive line, even with Sweat there. It's going to take some doing. I think it's beware here. I think there's high expectation. We know they're going to get a ton of money bet on them, But are they good enough? I think that's the question.
Yeah, very high expectations with the talent that they have brought in. And if you're Matt Eberflus, a lot of pressure because you've been given this opportunity for another year with a new quarterback. Are you going to mess it up or are you going to develop and make something good? They closed the season last year winning 5 of their last 8 games and certainly hoping to pick up where they left off, aside from that Packers game. Let's forget that one. Dan Quinn has another opportunity to be the head man with the Washington Commanders taking over for Ron Rivera. 43-42 as a head coach in the regular season, a Commanders team that really is desperate to get back on track. Their win total, 6.5, is juiced to the over, -120. Buy or beware on Dan Quinn and the Commanders.
I would buy because it has to be an uplift. New owner, new coaching staff, you know, new offensive coaches, you know, new defensive scheme. Everything's got to trend upwards from the past year with all the negativity, with the challenges that were there. I would buy. Do I think it's sustainable? Probably not, but it'll be a bump and they're a better team. And I think the Giants aren't as good as they are. They made a lot of moves in the offseason. They signed the most players of any team in free agency. They didn't give out the most money. They signed the most players, which helps the core of their team. They're going to start a rookie quarterback, which is always dangerous, but he can make plays with his feet and they've got good skill, you know? And so I think they'll be better coached defensively. They'll play hard. And they'll be a competitive team. I think it's by them.
Let's hit one more because we've talked a lot about the question marks that surround Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, how it's an important season for him, which ties into the head coach as well, an important season for Doug Peterson there in Jacksonville. 7 years of experience as a head coach between his time with the Jags and Philadelphia Eagles. Win total 8.5. It's -110 both ways. In the division last year, they were an odds-on favorite. This year, they're +275. Buy or beware on Jacksonville and Doug Peterson.
I would beware because everything about them is all about the – it's always about the receivers. I mean, look, other than the 13-3 season year two of his career, Doug has always been a coach that has been around 500. 9-7 the next year. 9-7 the year after that. 4-11-1 and gets fired. 9-8. The proof is that the 1 year was the aberration, not the norm. And I know he won a Super Bowl and that was great, right? I know that. But there hasn't been that consistency or that ability. He's 60-53-1, and those 10 wins separation between when he was 13-3 is the reason. He's 18-16 in Jacksonville. I think they're a 500 team, Stormy.
Yeah, it's a team that it's so interesting the way that the expectations change from 1 year to the next. Last year, it seemed like a foregone conclusion. Everybody felt so comfortable laying that juice to take Jacksonville in the division. And then the way that Houston is coming on with all of their young up-and-coming talent, it looks like that is getting a little bit more challenging for Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, and we'll see what they can do. We have to hit the break when we come back. Claudia Bellafato, DraftKings Network host and analyst, is going to join us coming up next. We'll talk some NBA and NHL postseason. Why she is buying what Anthony Edwards is selling. We'll discuss that coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget all about the great betting tools and content we have at VSiN.com. Best bets from our hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends. And right now on the homepage, our resident NHL expert, Johnny Lazarus, sharing his predictions and betting angles to consider in Stars Oilers tonight. We've also got WNBA, MLB, everything available right now at VSiN.com. As we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Massive game extended yesterday with Minnesota Timberwolves topping the Dallas Mavericks. Let's talk a little NBA with Claudia Bellafato, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. DraftKings Network host and betting analyst. You can catch her in the mornings with Gojo and Golic. Also done a great job on The Sweat as well. Claudia, welcome in. And are you feeling positivity about the Timberwolves now? Can we see a lengthier set, or is it still the Mavs to lose?
So I loved the Timberwolves. I completely admit that I felt a recency bias. This team has been so exciting through the first two rounds. And I think I said this to you guys too, or at least I talked about it on DKN. The fact that I had so much faith in Minnesota, not only because of their positivity and Ant Edwards being such a young force, playing like a veteran, sounding like a veteran, but of course, being as young as he is at 22, but they had the edge with being the best defense in the regular season, and that was reflected in those first two series. They had the major advantage when it came to the boards and the rim protection and attacking the rim, and then they seemed to just give up on all of that. They almost flipped, right? It's like we knew what Luka and Kyrie could bring, but the rest of this Mavs squad is a little bit inconsistent. They were one of the worst teams at rebounding. They didn't necessarily attack the basket very consistently, and that's all they did. And now that I look back on it and, you know, I'm away from the recency bias, it comes down to this, and you guys all know, everybody who watches basketball in particular, you have your star, but you have your, you know, Batman and Robin, right? As if I've ever seen that movie. You guys know me. I don't watch movies.
I wasn't going to bring up movies, Claudia. I wasn't going to bring up movies.
And Luka and Kyrie outscored Ant and Kat by 70 points in those wins. And then Kat somehow shows up in this last game, drops 25, and they win. I don't know how much they can rely on that. So as much as I did like this Timberwolves squad, I look at this number now, open 4, 4.5. We're seeing fives out there. I understand the excitement and what people saw in that last game. But if you're going to hang a five in front of my face with Luka and Kyrie, I'm tempted to take it. Otherwise, it's a prop game for me.
Well, I mean, they shot 10% better, the Timberwolves did, than the Mavericks. They also shot significantly better than the Mavericks from the three-point line. It was the first time. I'm with you. I can't buy that Karl-Anthony Towns is going to duplicate that shooting performance. But let's move it forward a little bit. You're sitting there. If I were to tell you you could have Boston at the minus number or Dallas at plus 230, which one are you going to take to win the series?
Michael. I don't drink the juice. Come on now. I would take the plus money. I think the way that I've really been betting these games throughout the season and throughout the series as well, I look for that plus money. And if you can sort of middle it, which I know is not the fun way to do it, but I do find value in playing the plus money live because it's a game of runs. It's a series of runs, I think, especially with this squad. That's going to be the real first challenge for Boston. And I know that I sound like a terrible person coming from Boston saying that this path has been easy, but it has been. And by the grace of God, I hope that Luka or Kyrie don't get hurt. But I feel like that's the only way that this would be an easy series. Otherwise, I do see it going seven. And yeah, the Mavs could squeak it out.
Well, and you are wearing green. You do live in Boston. Mm-hmm. You have been a Celtics fan all your life. And so I wonder for you, how hard is it to separate the analyst Claudia and the fan Claudia when you're going through these games and your expectations for Boston?
Yeah, I feel like I've done it for a little bit now that it comes easier to me. It's funny because I feel like almost analysts who live in Boston are a little bit harder on them because we right. do overanalyze it. And we see a team like the Timberwolves and a voice like Anthony Edwards, and we see a Jalen Brunson out there going off in the postseason. And you feel a little jealous, you know? It's like my team, the Celtics, they're having historic back-to-back seasons and they're just cruising through the post. But it's as if they just woke up from a nap every time. Like they get a sweep. Oh, yeah, whatever, on to Cincinnati. And I don't know if that's just the New England way. Like they don't want to overhype themselves, which some people see as a good thing. So I guess that's the only way I say it's tough for me as an analyst and a fan. I'd like to get a little more excitement out of our guys. But, hey, if they get the chip, then that's all that matters.
Did you have any money on Jaylen Brown to be the Eastern Conference MVP, or were you buying into the Jason Tatum narrative?
So this is tough, and we've been having this conversation. I thought there was a ton of value for Eastern Conference Finals. I'm sure you guys talked about how that number got slammed down when it was at 5-1. I said, jump on it now, because what we're seeing isn't too surprising. What made the Celtics team work in the regular and the postseason is that everyone's really comfortable in their role. And although it's the Batman to the Robin, Tatum's okay. If he's having an off shooting night or an off shooting series, he's okay with Brown taking over. So yeah, if you're going to give me plus money with Brown, I would take it.
Claudia Bellafato, DraftKings Network host and analyst, joining us on the Lombardi Line, progressive guest line here. You mentioned that for tomorrow in that Mavs-Timberwolves game, it's probably going to be a prop game for you in addition to attacking the game live in-game betting. But Anthony Edwards, you're looking at his over points and rebounds. Why is that the angle and perspective you're taking on Ant tomorrow?
Yeah, and this does feel a little square, like, oh, I like Anthony Edwards and Luka over props. But I do find that the points and rebound market gives me a little bit more of an edge, because he is a player, unlike Tatum. If he's having an off shooting night, he's just going to go even harder on the boards. He's going to be okay with being more of a facilitator. So the line's actually the same at DraftKings for points plus rebounds, points plus assists. I like the rebounds a bit better. The numbers have just been there, coming off of a 29-10-9 game, 26-9-9 the game before that. The attempts have increased from the field over the series, so he's gotten a little bit more comfortable. It looks like seeing this defensive matchup, which out of nowhere has been a better defense than we've seen all season from this Mavs squad. So I think it'll be big in the points and the rebounds. And I don't think that Cat's going to have as good of a game. So Ant Edwards will have to pick up some of that slack. And then double-double at plus 150. I feel like that is too good of a price. So I think I'd spring a little bit on that as well.
And what about the Rangers and the Panthers? I know that it's a sore subject. It's tied 2-2 with the overtime win by the Panthers. Do you have any play in this series?
Can I just bet the overtime? Because I feel like that's a given with the three straight overtimes. No,
that's right. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm seeing this price now, minus 120 for the game, I think that's a better value on the series price. The Panthers have an edge, and it's very simple when it comes to hockey. If you're going to put the puck on the net and you're going to generate those chances and you're facing a squad like the Rangers, who find themselves in high danger situations often, you have a better chance at winning. And I know these series have been tight, and all the credit in the world to Shesterkin for what he has been facing. And we saw it with the Bruins. And as good of a goalie as you are, because Shesterkin and Swayman are two of the best. And Stormy, I know you know that. When you're facing 37, 40 shots game after game, it's going to wear you down. So I do like the Panthers a bit with that minus 120, as much as it does hurt me.
And I like, too, that you said, can I just bet the overtime? Three straight overtime games after that game one shutout from Florida. How about in the NHL game four tonight, and the Oilers and Stars coming up? The Stars were able to get the win in overtime on the road last game. Can they do it again today? They're plus 115, total six against the Oilers.
Oh, I loved Dallas so much last season. So seeing them get this far gets me pumped. And yes, they're on the road, but there really hasn't been a big home ice advantage for the Oilers. And Dallas was the best team on the road in the regular season, 7-1 in the post. So I actually give the edge to them when it comes to the travel. Stuart Skinner just continues to be inconsistent. So yes, I'll take the plus money on the money line. And then one edge I love, again, it's very simple, but it's been hitting for me the last 2 years when it comes to the postseason hockey. It's the motivation versus the great goaltender, right? Oilers don't want to fall behind 3-1, especially at home. Jake Ottinger, as you know, one of the top goalies in hockey. So over 27 in the hook, I think that's a safe number. The juice varies a bit, 10 cents. I'd rather lay the 125 than the 135, but he's cashed us in all three games so far. 38, 29, and 30 shots he has faced. Third in the postseason, goal saved above expected. Second only behind Shesterkin in that save percentage. So again, very simple. He's going to face a lot of shots, and he's going to save a lot of them.
Claudia, I know how much you love plus money prices. We did find the price on that overtime game tomorrow, plus 265. Any interest?
Oh, come on. You got to sprinkle. If you don't, you'll be mad at yourself.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Claudia. Good luck with your bets.
Thanks, Claudia. Guys. Thank you.
That's Claudia Bellafato, everybody. Make sure you check her out again, doing great things on DraftKings Network and Gojo and Golic in the morning, as well as on
Gojo.
The Sweat.
Yeah.
Their show's fun. I mean, I see. Are you proud of me that I held it back for bringing up Superbad? I held it in.
I'm glad you did. I didn't even know what it was. You two were talking about it in the break. I have no idea what it was.
Have you not seen Superbad either?
No. No,
what world are we living in?
I have not.
I'm on an island here of watching movies by myself at home. Okay, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, Why Not Wednesday? Maybe I'll propose another film. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are getting so close to crowning an NBA champ. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN. That's V-S-I-N, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. And the NBA is where we have our pro tip of the day as well. Remember, you can always find pro tips for each and every show at vsin.com, searchable by sport and by show. But Michael, we talked a lot today, a couple of times, about how you can bet the same thing in different markets. And right now with the NBA finals, you can bet a potential matchup that's plus 185, plus 190 for the Mavericks against the Celtics, right? That's how you could bet it if you think that the Mavs are going to win. But if you're betting the futures board for an NBA title, Dallas is plus 230, plus 240 is out there on this team there. And yes, I know in the potential matchup, if for whatever reason the Mavericks don't win the series, that number goes away, right? That bet becomes voided. Whereas if you bet it in the futures market, it remains. But if you're betting the potential market, you're only betting that with the anticipation that the Mavericks aren't going to win anyways. So, like, it's just about being strategic and finding value. And I don't know, tell me what you think.
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, let's just take the NFL draft, right? If you went to four quarterbacks, plus four quarterbacks, right? You got minus, you were not getting a good number. But if you went to Bo Nix at a certain point under 32 and a half or 34 and a half, you got a great number.
Yeah.
And there was a time where could do the same thing for Michael Penix. So why play the four? We knew there were going to be four. For you to cash, it had to be either Nix or Penix. And so you could get better money on that than going with the fours. So there's a lot of different ways to get a better deal. And I think you just brought it out perfectly.
And that's exactly what I did. And what we talked about when we were betting the draft was I had a plus 180 ticket on Michael Penix Jr. to be a first round pick because I anticipated us getting five. And I thought Michael Penix Jr. was going to be that guy. Over 4.5 quarterbacks was juiced to high heaven. There are alternate ways to bet things that are similar. And in simplest terms, again, here with the NBA, if you think the Mavs match up well with the Celtics in a potential final series, it's better and more equitable to take them at plus 230 in the NBA title market instead of plus 185 in the look ahead market on DraftKings. Again, VSIN pro tips available at vsin.com. Now we're going to have a little bit of fun rounding out the show like we always do with a little Why Not Wednesday. Get that open rolling. Let's go.
Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
And coming off of that pro tip, you know we got to stick with the theme of the NBA here. Never in the history of the NBA postseason in best of seven series has a team come back from down 0-3 in a best of seven series. The Minnesota Timberwolves extended the set yesterday. Could you say why not to them closing it out, winning this best of seven against the Dallas Mavericks at plus 475?
No. Why not here? No chance. I mean, this is why history. You know, I wrote a column today about the Kansas City Chiefs. Can they three-peat? You know, and you go back, there's never been a three-peat. I mean, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. John Elway never three-peated. Tom Brady never three-peated. Like, it takes a lot of luck to win two in a row. We've had guys do it. Bob Greasy won two in a row. Bart Starr won two in a row. Brady's won two in a row. Mahomes has won two in a row. Elway. But three's a little harder. So it's a harder challenge to scale the last part of Everest. And I just don't think that this is really a daunting scale. With a team as good as Dallas, they're not going to lose four in a row.
I'm with you. And that's why I say if you have any trust in Dallas as it pertains to an NBA Finals bet, take the plus 230 now. It's a good buy low spot on them. I don't think that the Timberwolves are going to get out of this. And if you wanted to bet the Timberwolves, you should have bet them yesterday pre-tip-off because they were 10-1. Sticking with the NBA, Jaylen Brown, he goes on, wins Eastern Conference Final MVP despite the juice price on Jason Tatum. Could he do it again for the finals, Michael? 6-1 for Jaylen Brown to be NBA Finals MVP.
It, to me, this is an easy why not. He's their best player right now. Tatum is, in the media's eyes, the best player. But the guy who's doing the most damage, the guy who's winning the game for the Celtics, is Brown. Tatum hasn't shot well. Now, Tatum's a great player. We're not disputing that whatsoever. But Brown has been the most consistent player on the court, shooting the ball well and making plays. Yeah, why not? At 6-1, this is going to go down easily.
Matt Eberflus easily could have been fired after last season, but because the defense looked a little bit better, they won 5 of their last 8 games. He keeps his job and he gets a new toy, and Caleb Williams is the number 1 overall pick to be his quarterback. He is now a co-favorite with Jim Harbaugh for Coach of the Year. Could you say why not to that 9-1 price?
No, because these Bears numbers are what I've learned in doing this over the 5 years is the Chicago numbers are always jacked up wrong because there's so many great Bears fans that put money where their mouth is. And they want something to happen, and they're more than willing to spend for it. They really are. I mean, look no further than MVP Mitch. They were willing to pay for that. Look no further than Justin Fields' odds to be the MVP of the league. They're willing to pay for that. There's no reason for it. There was no evidence to support the idea, just like there's no evidence to support a guy who's won 10 games is going to become Coach of the Year. So they're not getting me to say why not. I'm not falling into that Bears love affair that has moved the numbers so much. You're not getting me to do it, Stormy. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week.
We talk about the idea of speaking things into existence. Bears fans trying to bet things into existence. But as you like to say, better off just giving it to St. Jude's at this point. We'll see. We'll see again. 9-1 there for Matt Eberflus in the Coach of the Year market. You talked about those Kansas City Chiefs. They, of course, are coming off back-to-back Super Bowls and an interesting start to the season for Kansas City as well. Do they pick up where they left off? Could you say why not to the Chiefs starting the season 5-0? If they do, it's a 6-1 price. Bet $100 to win $600. Their first 5 weeks, they face Baltimore, Cincinnati, at Atlanta, at the Chargers, and against the Saints before the bye.
Well, I mean, I think the worst they're going to be is 3-2. You have to make the decision. Do you think Cincy can beat them, or do you think Baltimore can? And if you like the bet, I could say why not to this, and here's why I would say it. Because if they beat Baltimore in the opener, I don't know if Cincy's going to be ready to play their best football in September. It's been proven that Zach Taylor's team starts slow and build. And if they get past Cincy and Baltimore, there's a pretty good chance they're going to go 5-0. I mean, Atlanta's not going to beat them.
Well, see, you say that, but who knows, right? Like, what if Kirk Cousins is ready to go? What if they are getting the most out of their weapons on offense and it's in Atlanta? So here, I agree, I could say why not, but I also kind of lean into another conversation we've had around the Kansas City Chiefs that maybe the time to fade them is the start of the season, and maybe there is that early hangover effect from the Super Bowl. I don't know. 6-1, though, I think is a very respectable price for what you're getting for them to start the season in that way. How about reverse effect here? Carolina Panthers, worst team in the NFL last year. For them to start 0-5, same price, 6-1. They open the season at New Orleans, followed by the Chargers, at Vegas, against the Cincinnati Bengals as well, and at Chicago.
I would say, you couldn't get me to say, at 6-1, that's not enough price for me. I think they're going to win one of those. They're going to be better. I mean, they're going to be better coached. We know this. It's not even close. They're going to be improved in a lot of areas. So I'm not saying they're going to be a great team, but to start 0-5 again, I don't see that.
Yeah, started 0-6 last year. 2 wins for them the entire season. It was, I mean,
remember
this, rough.
We lose sight of this, but this team actually did beat. They did beat the
Texans.
The Texans when the Texans were going. I mean, they have some players, and I'm not saying they're great. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying I think we've gotten a little carried away. And I think Canales will give them a better chance at playing well than Frank Wright did.
I'm with you. I did a whole Storm warning on about how we shouldn't be giving up on Bryce Young. So I'm with you. I think they're going to be better, and I hope to God they don't go 0-5 to start the year. One more here real quickly. Nico Collins signs a new deal with those Houston Texans. Can you say why not to him having 1,500-plus receiving yards this season?
Well, not with Stephon Diggs there and not with Tank Dell if he stays healthy. I think that's a little bit of a high number at plus 650. I think he's certainly capable of it. This is not a knock on him. but the ball's got to get distributed to other places with other receivers. They still have Robert Woods on the team at a high number. I don't know why they're still hanging on to him, but I would say no on this one because, again, not because Collins, but because they're going to spread the ball around.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A lot of talent now all of a sudden on that young offense. Michael, you are awesome. Fun show today. Appreciate Claudia Bellafato and Harry Gagnon joining us today. I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Stick around right here on VSiN. Patrick Maher and Chart Money coming up next.